Grumpy Old Birder 41, All Things Come. I've been known to cite my arthritic condition as the reason behind my birding method, patiently waiting for birds to just turn up. I'm not one for yomping miles across the wilderness in the hope that my footfalls flush skulkers into view. Even were I able to yomp, to stride out unshackled by aging bones and weakened flesh, such a tactic is unlikely to be in my canon. Even if my corpulence were negated by toned muscle and strength of will, I would still not be a contender in the latter stages of a marathon. There would be no sad staggering through the finishing tape, let alone a Mobot celebration. No, the prosaic truth is that I am afflicted with an ill that is so profound and debilitating, so dyed-in-the-wool and devastating, as to deserve the same sympathy and understanding as my ill health. From an early age I have suffered profound and chronic indolence. This terrible affliction has been my constant companion for nearly 6 decades. And I blame my granny. She managed to bridge 3 centuries during 105 years on this planet. Had she wished it, I'm sure she'd still be around. But she told the nursing home staff that she was checking out because she was fed up with being surrounded by old people. Her dictum sowed the seeds of my lassitude, and it was, never stand up when you can sit down, never sit down when you can lie down. Now it may be that her long life and lack of disease, I don't think she even had a cold during all that time, was born in her genes. Some might posit that they combined with her long life, that they combined with her lifelong labour as a market gardener. Heavy physical work all day, every day, kept her so fit. But that is mere science. I dismiss it in the face of my belief in her expressed wisdom. Like a Scientologist confronted with a fiction devised by their founder, I'm not moved, even though I'm pretty sure she never took her own advice. My abiding images are of her manhandling her rotavator across her plot, preparing Sunday lunch or, aged 94, tottering about my dad's garden feeding his chickens because he was slacking off. I've added a further codicil to this family dictum. Never run when you can walk. Never walk when you can ride. Today I was in my suddenly sunny garden watching the bees visit the flowers and wondering if I can switch to bugging as it may require less energy than birding. Sadly, my 64-year-old eyesight, coupled with my seemingly 84-year-old brain, has difficulty telling a hornet from a hoverfly and a cuckoo bee from a cuckoo. Birding it will have to remain. On days when I've angered the gods of Mount Olympus's poor cousin, Mount Arthritis, indolence plays no part in my immobility. Its thunderbolts can confine me to bed or shuffling upstairs on my backside, unable to trust my hips not to throw me to the floor. I once had such a divine intervention while out birding and had to crawl all the way to the car. On my best days, with the sun on my back, wind assisted and stopping from time to time to unlock my joints, I can get the 200 yards to a viewing ramp. But only if Dobbin, as she calls herself when we're called upon to tote my scope, assists. There I can sit on a handy bench and watch the swifts and swallows do battle with hobbies. On bad days, my hobby is embattled by the Arthritians who ensure that I can barely walk to work. And as my office is next to my bedroom and Dobbin supports me all the way, you can see that my restriction is pretty profound. This combination of fate and inclination put an end to my twitching career. Many years back, I sped the 150 or so miles from where I was to where the first mainland red-flanked bluetail was found. The walk of a kilometre or more to see it nearly did for me. I was wheezing and trembling as well as twitching. The journey back to my car, assisted by my young, fit son, had me so pale and shaking and agonised as to invoke fear and sympathy even in him. The very next mega to present itself was duly ignored, unless I could be certain that the trek was brief, on ground that was level and dotted with rest areas. I just didn't go. I resolved to be a county twitcher only. If a bird turns up within the county boundary and I know or can find out what the access is like, I might go for it, hips permitting. Otherwise, I visit favourite accessible sites like Dungeness or Raw. Overseas birding tends to be better, as so often vehicular access is favoured. Tropical paradises offer the possibility of literally hundreds of birds seen from a lodge veranda or on a drive-and-stop trek along a forest track or through the savannah. All of which explains why my county list has been so long stagnated. I have been becalmed and mired in the 290s now for several years, adding one or less birds a year. My world list has grown more quickly just from the armchair ticks of taxonomic reshuffling. But, as they say, all things come to he who waits. The day that my oldest mate left my place and headed off to East Anglia in search of rarities, the bird lines overheated with news of a mega a stone's throw from my house. A car journey of about a mile got me to a parking spot at the very gates of a cemetery. A walk of 15.5 metres got me to the midst of 200 pairs of eyes surrounding the A car journey of about a mile got me to a parking spot at the very gates of a cemetery. A walk of 14.5 metres got me amidst 200 pairs of eyes surrounding the UK's first twitchable dusky thrush in 54 years. My 300th Kent tick on a plate. What's more, it was a UK and world lifer added ideally indolently. That's all, folks.